that are briefly mentioned, but that we often overlook. Even though a little is said about them, we can, however, learn a lot from them. One of these characters is a man by the name of Onesiphorus, or Onesiphorus. That's a tough one to say, but we'll see what we can learn about him tonight. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 through 18 once again as our text for tonight. The Lord give mercy into the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. From this reading, we can see that not much is said about our brother. He's only mentioned twice in the Bible, and that's here in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then he's mentioned one more time in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. We can gather from our text that he was Asian, was most likely a member of the church at Ephesus. We also know that he had family there. And the scriptures just don't tell us a whole lot more regarding his background. But I believe we can learn a great deal from this character. And that's what we want to do tonight. Onesiphorus' name means bringing profit or help bringer. And he certainly lived up to his name. The first chapter of 2 Timothy is an exhortation to Timothy from Paul to remain loyal to the faith. And the Apostle Paul here uses Onesiphorus as an example of faithfulness to Timothy. With the time that we have together tonight, I want to look at 5 points that I think we can draw out of this character that might help us in our lives as Christians. First of all, Onesiphorus was profitable. Now, if something's profitable, that means that it is yielding advantageous returns or results. I believe that the result of Onesiphorus' love and care was Paul's refreshed state. Back now to our lesson in the text, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says there in verse 16 that Onesiphorus often refreshed him. This refreshing could have come through some type of physical provision such as food. It could have come in the form of clothing. It could have come in the form of spiritual encouragement or emotional encouragement through the fellowship that he and Paul had together. The Bible's not very clear on exactly what that was, but whatever it was, we see that it occurred very often. Onesiphorus was a great blessing to the Apostle Paul. His repeated kindness to Paul is described in the word refreshed. What does it mean to be refreshed? What does that word mean? The answer to that is to restore strength or animation. I can only imagine how Paul must have felt at this time in his life. The trials of that day of trying to spread the gospel, taking the gospel to different parts of the world, the things that, if you read through the book of Acts, Paul's missionary journeys and all that he went through, finally resulting in his imprisonment and then his voyage to Rome and being imprisoned there in Rome. What an encouragement it must have been to have a good friend like Onesiphorus to show up and seek him out and encourage him. Onesiphorus refreshed Paul by extending his love not only when Paul was there at Ephesus, though, but also when he was imprisoned in Rome. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, if you'd like to turn there. Galatians 6 and verse 6 says that anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. I'm pretty sure that Onesiphorus received much spiritual help and instruction from the Apostle Paul. Now it's Onesiphorus' duty to extend to Paul those things he needs to take care of his needs. There's another refresher mentioned in the Bible that we can take note of. His name is Philemon. If you'd like to turn over to Philemon, It's just a few books over from our text there. And it's just the one chapter. But I think it's obvious from this letter that Paul thought a great deal of Philemon. And we won't take the time to read that whole chapter. But I'd like to point you to a few verses there. Verse 4 and verse 8 in particular. Verse 4 says that I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. And then in verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Philemon refreshed Paul in a couple of different ways. In normal situations, as we see there in verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And then in the case of Onesimus in Philemon 1 and verses 10 through 20, and we'll take the time to read those. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might be have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owe thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. So we see there that Philemon is also a good example of one who encouraged or refreshed Paul. I think we can all say that we could certainly use an Onesiphorus, and we all need to be like him. Those that refresh are needed in the world and certainly are needed in the Lord's church. Being an encourager is a great attribute. By encouraging others, we can change hopelessness and expectancy. We can alter attitudes and change outlooks. We can renew strength and determination. And we can make glad the hearts and souls of others. A wonderful thing about this service is that anyone can do it. Any one of us can do that. Now, not everybody can lead singing. Not everybody can preach a lesson. Not everybody's comfortable teaching a class. We all have different talents. But certainly we can all be an encouragement to others. That's something that we can easily do. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 11. I want to read a verse there. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. In other words, a generous man will prosper. He that refreshes others will himself be refreshed. The promise is in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, where it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We need to ask ourselves, are we profitable, brethren? Turn over to Romans chapter 12, and let's read verses 10 through 13 to kind of drive this point home. Romans 12, verses 10 through 13. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Second point I'd like to bring out about Onesiphorus is that he was proven. He was proved. When you prove something, you test its truth and validity and its genuineness. Onesiphorus, Genius, was tested or proved by his faithfulness. There back in our text in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 16, we read that Onesiphorus was not ashamed of Paul's chains. Why was Paul in chains? If you'll remember back to what we've been studying actually on Sundays in Acts, you know the answer to that. But Paul was in chains, to sum it up, because of the gospel. We can see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where it says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Paul was suffering to the point of a common criminal simply because he was preaching the gospel. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Paul also writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 11 and 12, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I imagine that being a close friend of Paul's at this time was probably not the safest thing to be. Paul probably wasn't somebody that you'd want to hang out with about this time. But Onesiphorus, unlike others, was not ashamed of Paul's chains. And he identified himself with Paul, the prisoner. Not Paul the apostle, but Paul the prisoner. There were those who had turned away from Paul, weren't there? Apparently there were some who were ashamed of his chains. 2 Timothy 1:15. Here we read, "Everyone in the province of Asia had deserted Paul. Among this group of people were Phygellus and Hermogenes." At one time, these men were fellow laborers in Asia Minor with Paul, but had abandoned him. Probably on the account of the perils that they knew they would face. They witnessed what Paul was going through. They probably decided that they could find their time best suited somewhere else that wasn't quite as dangerous. They had abandoned Paul. Not much is said about those two characters either in the Bible, are they? But I believe we can learn a lot about their character as well from the example we see that where they forsook him. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, if you'd like to turn over there, we see another man who forsake Paul. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Croesus to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia." We know why Demas departed from him. Maybe it wasn't so much that they were scared of being persecuted, but the love of this world is what made him decide to leave Paul. Paul encouraged Timothy earlier in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 7 where he said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." By refreshing Paul while he was in chains, ministering to him, Onesiphorus in essence really confessed faith in Jesus, faith in the gospel, didn't he? Now, following Jesus is not guaranteed to make your life easier. Matter of fact, the world seems to frown on those who do put their faith and trust in Jesus. Things more than likely won't be easy for you if you do put your faith in Him and proclaim that. But as a disciple of Jesus, we should not conform to worldly standards, as seen in Romans 12 and verse 2, and like Demas did. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We can read in 1 Peter 1 in verse 22 of the kind of love that we should show towards our brethren. 1 Peter 1:22. I'd like to turn over there. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. The third point I'd like to bring out about Onesiphorus was that he was painstaking. If something is painstaking, it means it's expending, showing, or involving diligent care and effort. Onesiphorus did just that. Back to our text, 2 Timothy 1, there in verse 17, it says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The government of that day, the Roman government, was a very fierce and suspicious government. It meant no little thing to diligently seek out a prisoner of Rome. In this case, by the Jews, a detested prisoner of Rome. Onesiphorus, however, he did just that, and Paul never forgot about it. Onesiphorus might have excused himself with the urgency of his business that took him to Rome, but he didn't let that get in the way. He risked possibly his own life in seeking out Paul. The way it's put there in the Bible, seeing that he didn't exactly know where he was, he probably had to ask some questions to find out where Paul was, to seek him out. But he persisted in that. He was painstaking in that, and he found Paul. Can you imagine what kind of friendship that showed towards Paul? Can you imagine the encouragement that Paul must have felt when Onesiphorus showed up there at his door? We don't experience this type of government in our country today. But there are other parts of the world where governments are suspicious, where teaching the gospel, proclaiming Christ, is a crime. Can you imagine if you were in one of those countries proclaiming the gospel, preaching the gospel, and were arrested for that, put in prison? The rights that you have in this country, you don't have in another country. You don't have in that country. You're subject to their laws. If you put yourself in that position, can you imagine what it would be like if one of your brothers from here or from somewhere else, somebody that you don't even know, but another one who shares your convictions, who is a brother or sister in Christ, and they seek you out to offer you encouragement. If we can put ourselves in those shoes for a moment, maybe we can just get a glimpse of how encouraging this might have been to Paul. Do we diligently seek out the needy? Or do we excuse ourselves? Excuses are easy to find. We can come up with one at the drop of a hat. Is that what we do, or do we persist? Are we painstaking in seeking the needs of others and ministering to them? The fourth point I'd like to bring out about Onesiphorus was that he was persistent. That's akin to painstaking, but I think it's a little bit different. We see that there in verse 18 of our text. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. And thou knowest that very well. Onesiphorus was not content with having helped Paul out in one way. He sought many ways of helping. He was committed and persistent at being a minister of refreshment. Others may have thought, I'm in Rome on business. I've got some free time. Maybe I'll look Paul up. I'll see if I can get around to finding some time to go see him. Not Onesiphorus. That wasn't his attitude, was it? He made diligent effort to seek Paul out and to find him for the purpose of ministering to him. He didn't go for just a visit. He went with the purpose of finding out Paul's needs, seeing what it was that Paul might need help in. He overcame many obstacles, I'm sure, as we spoke about earlier, in finding him. And he could have easily given up, but he didn't. Just like those we've already read about, though, Phygellus and Hermogenes and Demas, they had a totally opposite attitude. You and I might have responded, this is too difficult. It's getting late. I've got some business to tend to in the morning. I really got to go. I'm sure Paul will understand. Or if we wanted to sound spiritual about it, we might have written it off in this way. It must have been God's will for us not to find Paul. And that's the wrong attitude. In spite of the difficulties of the task, Onesiphorus persevered. He was persistent in finding Paul. Timothy, I'm sure, was well informed concerning the good works of this man. The love of a good friend will show itself in an unfailing kindness. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read a text there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, concerning love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in the iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, or love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Do you think that Onesiphorus had these verses in mind when he was seeking Paul out to minister to him? Paul commended the Thessalonians for the love that they showed to the brethren there in Macedonia. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we can see there in verses 9 through 10 this commendation. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. We should increase in our love towards our brethren, even if we're already doing it. If we consider ourselves to love our brethren, we should continue to grow in that and seek ways where we can see through the needs of others even more. Galatians chapter 6 instructs us to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, let's read verses 2 through 10. Let's focus on verses 2 and 10 as we read this. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Can we find more than one or two ways where we can help others, where we can help our brethren? Can we be persistent just as Onesiphorus was in seeking out the needs of others and then taking care of those needs? Final point I'd like to make about Onesiphorus was that he was prayed for. 2 Timothy 1:16, the Lord give mercy into the house of Onesiphorus, 2 Timothy 1 and 18 says, "The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day." Paul prayed for Onesiphorus' household there in verse 16. Blessings come upon the house for the father's sake. A good man's goodness blesses his home. Onesiphorus' family deserved mercy from God because Onesiphorus showed mercy towards Paul. Matthew 5 and verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." So let us show mercy towards others. Paul prays for Onesiphorus in verse 18. Paul rewards Onesiphorus with kindness in the best possible way. He prayed for him. That's a great thing to be remembered in others' prayers, isn't it? I certainly appreciated Bob's prayer tonight when he prayed that I might remember the things that I brought, that I've been preparing to bring to you tonight. I believe in prayer, and I appreciate that. And I think that's gotten me through tonight. I hope you agree. But do we pray for each other? If we don't, then we need to start. And tonight would be a good night to do that. Well, in conclusion, with all that's been said, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. Are we friends to each other like Onesiphorus was to Paul? Are we profitable friends? Could others say that we often refresh them? Are we proved friends? Do we reject each other in times of adversity? Or do we love one another with a pure heart? Are we painstaking friends? The faithfulness of Onesiphorus was proved in adversity. Do we overcome adversity to diligently seek others? Are we persistent friends? Do we look for multiple ways that we can help our brethren? And are we prayerful friends? Do we pray for each other? Along those lines, are we friends to Jesus, like Onesiphorus was to Paul? Are we profitable to Him? Can Christ say that we often refreshed Him? Are we proven to Him? Or are we ashamed of the reproach of Christ? Christ bore the shame of the cross. We should glory in the cross for Jesus Christ's sake. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Are we painstaking towards Christ? The faithfulness of Onesiphorus was proved in adversity. Do we overcome adversity to diligently seek Him and to do His will? Are we persistent for Christ? Do we look for multiple ways to do His will? If you'd like to turn over to Matthew, I think we can sum everything up there by reading Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Paul says of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 18, The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. The question is ours. Will you find mercy in that day? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the thing done while in the body, whether good or bad. I believe that Onesiphorus was prepared for that day. You need to ask yourself that same question. Are you prepared for that day? If not, then you can make that right tonight. You can prepare this very night for that day. You can do that by believing in Him, by believing His Word. You can do that by repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then by being baptized tonight and having your sins washed away. Those people in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when they realized what it was that they had done, that they were the ones who had been guilty of Jesus' death, asked the question, what do we need to do? And it was told to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can do that tonight just as those did in Acts chapter 2 there, as Peter preached to them. If you've fallen away, if you have been prepared at one time in your life to meet the Lord, but have fallen away and there are things in your life that are keeping you from Him, that are keeping you separated from Him, you can make those right tonight too. And we want to help you in any way that we can. Whatever your case may be tonight, we would invite you.